Praise be to God for this beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us and the opportunity that He has given us to come together as a parish to worship God. As I continue my youth ministry here in Philadelphia, it's been a blessing over the past years. The various opportunities we have received as a family. And we pray that we will continue to be a blessing, and that is only possible when you pray for us and when you be with us. I had sent messages to all the youths of whom I have contact, I mean the list which was given to me. Many of them responded. I have visited all of them. Some of them who responded I have scheduled in the coming weeks as per their availability. There are many yet to respond. I look forward for a reply from them, and I hope even the parents will just encourage the children and find a time, maybe 30 minutes, any day of your week, any time of the day. You may let me know, and we will only be happy to come, visit you, know you, spend a few minutes in prayer. That's the only purpose that we have. Please do respond back, so that it's only when we get to know each other the ministry becomes more fruitful. We will know you, we will know your needs, we can keep you in our prayers. This morning, as we come into a time of meditation, the gospel portion that we read this morning was from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. And verse 8 says, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." The other day when I was taking a Bible study in one of the youth fellowships here, the question of repentance came up. What is repentance? Do I just come say, "Lord, I'm sorry," I go back, and is it okay? Then I do sin, and I come back again, I say sorry. Is that what repentance is? So that thought lingered in my mind, and I thought, this morning, as we look into the Word, the Word came out from this portion, saying repentance, fruits of repentance, and that is what I would like to speak on today. Fruits of repentance. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, this morning as we sit at your feet, we know that you have given us the living Word of God. This is not just a text, O Master, it is not some history, it is not literature, but it is life. Help us to experience the life from this Word, O Master. We know it is not possible with the limited capacity that we have in our brains. But it is only when the Spirit reveals the Word to us, when the Spirit convicts us of our sins, when the Spirit moves us to repent, when the Spirit moves us to be transformed, it is possible. Spirit of God, we pray that you will move in us, move among our midst this morning. Speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Repentance, in simple term, would mean turning away from sin and turning towards God. You're going in a sinful way, you turn from that. But when you turn, you're turning to God. That is what repentance, in simple term, means. And who should repent? Me. You. Simple answer. Who is called to repentance? Sometimes we think repentance is for some people outside the church, some people who are living a very bad life. No. Repentance is for me. Me who is here in the altar, you who are sitting here in this sanctuary. It is for all of us. And sometimes we think that only when we do bad things or very worse things that we need to repent. No, it is for everyone, every day, every moment of our lives. Something or the other creeps in as sin, and we are called to live a repentful life. Knowingly, unknowingly, sinfulness creeps into us. And that's where we are called to live a repentant life. And that's where the Word of God through John says, bear fruits of repentance. Don't just act it out. There were a brood of people coming to John to be baptized. A lot of people. When John came and preached, a lot of people came. And about his preaching, the essence of his preaching was repent, for the Lord is here. That's what he said. And we don't even see any miracles or anything being done by John. Today, sometimes we feel that the power of God comes only through miracles. No, there was no miracles which is mentioned about John's ministry. Though Jesus was also there at that time, Jesus did do miracles. John never stepped into that area of doing miracles. He never did anything. But when people came to him, he was very blunt. He said, repent, you are sinful. Brood of vipers, that's the word that he is using here. Repent of your sin. And when there were, as we go down this passage, we see how he say, when people ask and say, what then shall we do? What shall we do? And the first thing that he says is, if you have two tunics, two clothes, you are to share with one who does not have one. If you have food, do that. Then he goes down to tax collectors. He goes down to soldiers. And he says, what has to be done? And from this, I would like to take three things this morning, which I'm sure we can apply in our lives. And we can also evaluate ourselves and see the areas of repentance. One, turn away from greed and include more sharing. Turn away from greed and include more sharing in our lives. We have provisions that God has given us. Anything and everything that you and I enjoy today, the homes, the wealth, the food, the clothes, the air that we breathe, the things that we eat, everything is provided by the Creator. Though we may say that the food I eat is manufactured by so-and-so brand and I'm eating it, ultimately, if you look down the chain, it was God who provided that. It was God who gave that life. It was because of God that this has happened. Man may say it is because of technology, inventions, so-and-so, so many things. But ultimately, everything that you and I enjoy is a provision from God. It is provided. It is provided for us, for each and every person. It is not just, when I say provision, it is for all. But what has happened in our lives, in my life and your life, is we have taken it as possessions. The provisions have become our own possessions. And that's where greed has crept in. When I say, this is mine and mine alone, that is my possession. I say, I cannot share it. I need it. That is my possession. Provision was from God. But as humans, we claim possession and say, this is mine. And that is where the sin of greed creeps in. That is where John says, if you have two, give to one. Give one to whom who has none. If you do the same with your food. So this morning, as Christians, as believers in Christ, who say, yes, we believe in a living God who created us, who is sustaining us, who is providing for our needs. Everyone sitting here, God is speaking to us. Do you have the sin of greed in your life? Have you taken control of the provisions in your life and say, no, this is mine, and that has led to a sin of greed. And the Word of God very clearly says we are only stewards, not owners. Stewardship is what is given to a believer. We karya vijaritvam. I believe if you go through our marriage service towards the end, marriage service is not something where we listen to all. We are just looking at everything, the photos. No, the glamour of the marriage service is what is seen. But if you look into the liturgy of the marriage service of the Marthoma Church, in the end, when the priest exhorts the couple, he says something. He says, you are stewards of wealth, of time, of opportunities. You are stewards. Go back into this world and live that stewardship in your family life. So as children of God, we are called to have that stewardship in our life and not ownership. We are just, no, we are just here for a very short time. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, it's a very short time. We may say it is a very long life. When I say that, I'm approaching 40 and I'm like, wow, almost half life. No, I'm coming half life, my half life is gone. It's a very short life, even now I feel I'm a young boy. I am, though I may look old, but still half life is gone. It's a very short time. We are not owners. We just pass away from this world. We are called for stewardship. That's where the word says, do not fall into greed. If you read Joshua chapter 7, we see the sin of a person called Achan. And this person, he was with the Israelites and they were on war. And when they go and defeat the enemy, God says, destroy everything. Don't take anything from there. No, all that. Just destroy those cities. Don't even pick out any piece from there. Just destroy them. But this guy, when he went for a war, he saw gold. He saw silver. He saw very precious tunics, robes. And he thought, why should I destroy it? No, this is so precious things. I can have it. So he took that. He brought it back. And what happened? We read in Joshua. Go back and read Joshua chapter 7. We see, because of that, the next war that they went for, the Israelites were defeated. The country was defeated because of one person's greed. The whole country was defeated. And when they came back, Joshua prays and asks God, what happened, God? Why did you leave us? God points out to this person and says, this man, his greed. And what happens later on is he, his family, his possessions, everything is taken out. They are stoned to death. The whole thing is covered with stones. And that place is called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble. And the word says it is still there. I haven't been in Israel, I don't know. So it is called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble. Many a times, the greed in our lives will only lead to the Valley of Trouble. We may think that more and more and more possessions in my life will make my life comfortable, will make my generations comfortable. But ultimately, down the line, somewhere, you will reach the Valley of Trouble. Greed is not what God wants us. To share is what the fruit of repentance is. If we are sinned with a greed, let us come to repentance and share the best that we have, so that we will be a blessing to others. Secondly, be faithful and trustworthy in your responsibility and positions. Be faithful and trustworthy in your responsibility and positions. Responsibility versus authority. It's a very fine line. We have responsibility and we can take it as authority also on ourselves. When it becomes authority and we overpower others, we are sinning with power. But when we take the power and the positions that is given to us as responsible persons and use it to serve others, we have fruits of repentance in our life. When we serve others, we build relationships. When we take up authority, we strain and break relationships. And responsibility is something where we people will look up to us and look up to us as leaders who are there serving. But when we take up the authoritarian positions, people will judge us for what we do. So the Word of God says, if you have been given a position of responsibility, remember it is not for the authority, but it is to serve others. As Christian believers, as Christian leaders, as people who are serving in various positions, in high positions, in various levels in this society, the Lord reminds us, whatever you are, wherever you have been placed, it is not because you are better than others. Maybe the intellectual level and the way that we work, it is better than others. That's why we have grown up to high positions. But yet, it is because God has given us that responsibility to serve people, to serve the community, to serve the kingdom of God. Are we using the opportunities, the responsibilities that the Lord has placed in our life today to serve others? I'm reminded of Zakaria Sirimeni, of whom I was a secretary for about 11 years. He was a suffragan metropolitan of the church. I remember one occasion, there are many occasions, one occasion which came to me this morning was during the Navati project of the church. I'm sure you have heard about that. That was during the 90th birthday of Mark Chrysostom, who is now the Velia Metropolitan. So it was his 90th birthday and the Sabha Council decided we'll build 90 houses for homeless people in India. And the decision was taken, and then it was the discussion was who will lead it. Zakaria Sirimeni, being the suffragan metropolitan, the Sabha Council said, let Zakaria Sirimeni lead that project. And Sirimeni, when he was not first, he was a bit apprehensive, but when he was forced, he said, okay, I will take up the project, but I will have my own terms of working. And the first decision that he took in the Sabha Council was, if I am taking up this project, I am not going to do 90 houses, I will do 900 houses. And everyone was stunned for a moment. 90, and where is 900? He said, the Marthoma Church has so much of potential that we should not shame ourselves doing 90 houses for a person who has led the church thus far, but we should do 900 houses. The Sabha Council, though it was a bit apprehensive, they said, okay, if Sirimeni is doing it, do it. We don't mind it. And they said 900 houses. And he worked tirelessly. He also, I think many of you who are here would have contributed for that project. He worked tirelessly for that project for a year. 1 year was that project. 1 year of collection and implementation, and he collected funds for 1,900 houses. The aim was 900. The first decision was 90. The aim became 900, and when he completed, it was 1,900 houses. I would say it was not with authority that he led, but it was because of the responsibility that he took up on himself, the responsibility which people saw in him, and people contributed, and that was done. Because of that, 1,900 families were blessed. That is where responsibility wins over authority. As responsible leaders, maybe in parish level, maybe in your companies, in your wherever you are, if you become responsible before the Lord and submit yourself before the Lord will multiply the blessings that will flow through you. It is not just limited. It is not just percentage-wise 10% or 20% more. He will multiply exponentially the way that you will be a blessing to this society. Thirdly, give away violence and corruption. He tells to the soldiers, don't be corrupt. Don't put false accusation on others. Don't grab money with false accusation. But be gentle in everything. God is reminding us today, give away violence and corruptions. When we say violence, we think of Iran. We will think of Pakistan. But now even we will think of India, violence which is happening in India. But to me, I would say, violence starts in our homes. In our homes. If you are abusing your spouse, you are doing the sin of violence. If you are abusing your children, you and I, we are sinning violence. Violence is not by terrorists. It starts at home. It starts just within our homes. The physical abuse, the mental abuse, the sexual abuse, the ways that God has given us responsibilities, but we abuse it to overpower others. Violence. Are we creating violence in our homes? The verbal abuses that we maybe say with each other. That's where violence starts. This morning, God reminds us, God has provided each one of us our individuality. And when that is suppressed, it is an abuse. If you and I knowingly or unknowingly suppress the individuality of our spouse, of our children, of our siblings, of our friends, of our colleagues, of people in the society, of strangers also, we are committing the sin of violence. We need to look into ourselves. Knowingly, unknowingly, are we into violence today? Corruption is also related to violence. When we say corruption, we think of billions, people who are squandering billions or something like that. No. Every person who remains silent about violence is also corrupt. When the leaders are doing violence or corruption, if I remain silent, I am also part of that corruption. It is not just the people of power. We are corrupted when we remain silent or we are not ready to take the courage to question them, be it in our families, in our churches, or the society. Those who remain silent to corruption is also silently involving in corruption. Yes, we have our limits. We cannot just speak out and talk back to everyone. We are not called to do that. But we should be able to take positions in life. There is nothing called neutrality. Either we are with the people who are abusing, or we are with the people who are abused. You can be with the abuser, or you can be with the victim. So which side will our stand be? Will we be with the victim? At times, even silently, we can be part of the change or the truth. There are many, it is not just people who speak against violence or speak against corruption who are standing up. There are many silent protesters. I don't know if you know of a person called Titus G. I was reminded this morning about Titus G because he is a Marthomite. Something special about him was he was one among the 78 people who participated in the Dandi March, the Salt Satyagraha with Gandhiji. He was from Maraman. He is born in Maraman. But he became part of the Sabarmati Ashram. And when Gandhiji went for the Dandi March, he was one among the 78 people who went along with Gandhiji. So when I read about him, you can Google and you will find Titus G. Just Google Titus G, you'll find him. So it says about this, the Salt March, also known as Dandi March, was initiated on March 12, 1930 to protest against the British government for levying heavy taxes on salt. The march that covered over 385 kilometers took about 24 days to complete, and 78 of Gandhiji's trusted volunteers accompanied him. One of them, and the only Christian, was Titus G. The only Christian. There was one Christian in that march also. He was very silent, maybe even as Marthomites, many of us don't know him even today, but he was there. A very silent protester. Sometimes we cannot be vociferous, but we can be very silent protesters also. Be a part of the change. Be a part of the truth. Finally, becoming satisfied and content with the life that we have. Being satisfied and content with the life that we have. That's what in this passage, the last verse is. And be content with your wages. Every day when we have our family prayers, I believe all of us have family prayers, I'm sure that we also recite the Lord's Prayer. And we say, give us this day our daily bread. I'm sure even if we have not said it every day, at least during the services that we have, when we say this prayer, we say that, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread is not just a request. God, give me one piece of appam, one piece of bread. It's not just a request. But it is also saying, God, that provision which you have for me today, I'm content with that. I'm not asking for tomorrow. I'm not saying, God, give me bread for today and give me bread for tomorrow. Even when we pray that prayer in the night, we'll say, give us this day our daily bread. We don't say, give us the bread for tomorrow morning. We only say, this day. We are content with what we have. That is what the Word of God says. Becoming satisfied and content with the life that we have. The balancing act being satisfied and falling into discontentment is very fragile. It is very fragile. Where is satisfaction? Where is dissatisfaction? But as believers in Christ, when we pray this prayer every day, give us this day our daily bread, God reminds us, you will be provided for what you need today, and that provision is more than enough for you today. Be content with that bread. It was Theodosius Sirimeni during one of his Maraman convention speeches long back. I don't remember which year. I don't remember the full text of the sermon or what he spoke in the whole sermon as such. But one word which remains in my mind about that sermon is, Madi ennu parayuvan devame ni njangale sahayikaname. Madi ennu parayuvan. Enough. Many a times, this is what we lack. Madi ennu parayuvan. English, enough ennokke paranjal, madi, because I told that Malayalam word, because that is more meaningful. Madi ennu parayuvan. When we, in nammude ee malayaligalude oru rakthathil ullada, nammal oru veettil, pratheyichu njangal achanmarokke veettil varumbo, bhashanokke velambumbo, മതി എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും പിന്നെയും എടുക്കും ഒരു സ്പൂണ് അല്ലേ. അച്ഛൻ ചുമ്മാതങ്ങ് പറഞ്ഞതാണോ അച്ഛനത്ത് സത്യമായിട്ടും മതിയായതാണോ, ഇനിയും ചിലപ്പോൾ അച്ഛൻ ഓർക്കുമായിരിക്കും ഞാൻ ഇട്ടില്ലേൽ എന്തോ തോന്നുന്നു പറഞ്ഞു ഒരു സ്പൂണുടെ. എന്നാൽ എനിക്കും ജിനു അച്ഛനും മതിയെന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ മതി തന്നെയാണ്. മതി, ഇനഫ്. Can we tell the Lord that, enough God, you have blessed me so much, enough. I have all that I need. My children have all that I need, enough. I'm sure many of you tithe. നമ്മൾ ടൈത്തിങ് ചെയ്യുന്നവരാണെങ്കിൽ ഐ വുഡ് ആസ്ക്, ഹാസ് ഗാഡ് എവർ നോ ടേക്കൺ അവേ എനിത്തിങ് ഫ്രം യു ബിക്കോസ് യു ടൈത്ത്? നോ, ഫോർ മീ ഐ ഹവ് നെവർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ദാറ്റ്. ജസ്റ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഐ ടൈത്ത്, ദർ ഇസ് നത്തിങ് ഇൻ മൈ ലൈഫ്, നോ നീഡ് ഇൻ മൈ ലൈഫ് വിച്ച് ഹാസ് നെവർ ബീൻ മെറ്റ്. എവറി നീഡ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ മെറ്റ്, മോർ ഇൻ അബണ്ടൻസ്. ബട്ട് ദോസ് ഹു ഹാവ് നോട്ട് tithe, I would say, every time it is not enough. You feel a little more. And also to people who tithe, I will encourage, as years go by, increase that. Increase, maybe the amount has increased as your salaries have increased, your amount has increased, of course. But I would say, increase the percentage a bit. Because that is where we show God, God, I'm content. No, I am ready to share more. I am ready to give more. I am ready to contribute to this society more. I am ready to contribute to this kingdom of God more. That is where our response, our expression to God becomes more meaningful. Madhi ennu parayuvan sadhikam. Four things which I mentioned this morning. One, as believers, turn away from greed and include more sharing in your life. Two, be faithful and trustworthy in your responsibilities and positions. Three, give away violence and corruption. Four, becoming satisfied and content with life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you for all the blessings in our lives. This morning as we sit here, maybe we have heard the word with its spirit. Maybe we have just sit here and not heard anything. Maybe we have sit here with our minds somewhere else. Maybe we have taken this word very lightly. But whatever be, O Master, I pray that the Spirit will prick us, that the Spirit will convict us. It is not my words, O Master. It is when your Spirit convicts us that we can repent of our sins. Give us a repentant heart. Give us the grace to bear fruit with a repentant heart. Thank you, Master, for this opportunity. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray.